This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov. And it is the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox who joins us this morning, Craig Breslow. Hey, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing great and back on track a little bit here with the series win at least. So, and I know it's a long season. When you look at this team struggling a little bit of late prior to winning this series, would you be more concerned with the defense side of things or the offense side of things?
Yeah, you know, I think we are mindful of both. It's a little bit early, I'd say, to use the word concerned, yep. But there are definitely some trends that we're seeing, and we want to make sure that we're out in front of. And I think Alex said it well when he talked about, you know, the team not looking like they were prepared to play, and that's something that changed over the last couple of days. You know, I think much, much cleaner games for the last two nights on both sides of the ball. I think we have to trust the track record of the guys that we have on defense. They've been good defenders in this league for a really long time. Offense, obviously, is a little bit more variant, and we need to make sure that we're making good swing decisions, you know, which is something that we saw improve over the last two nights. Looked like there was a clear approach plan, and you know, we were swinging at pitches in the zone, putting good swings on them, and driving better contact.
When you describe it as a team not being prepared, does that mean you need to go back and look at the way you're doing things in spring training?
I think we always need to look at how we're doing things, but I actually think that in spring training there was a really strong focus and intentionality to the work on the backfield and in the cages, and you know, I think we were all really happy with the level of preparation coming into season, and then the season introduces a ton of variables that are hard to navigate at times. You know, whether it's travel, weather, injuries, all those things. But I think, you know, based on what we've seen the last couple of days, I think we're on the right track. And, you know, I think there's a good level of accountability from the players. We saw what guys like Trevor and Bregman had to say, you know, about going out there, competing, being prepared to play. And we'll continue to build on the momentum that I think we've established over the last couple of days.
Craig, one of the things that this team has changed a little bit, and you've seen it over the years, is obviously your ability to run as athletes, stolen bases, and you're getting the hits, but you're leaving a lot of runners in scoring position. Will you? Is there a chance that we might see, because of the speed that you have on this team, a little bit more aggressive base running to maybe add to getting more runs in?
I think athleticism and overall team speed certainly strengths of this group. We need to get on base in order to run. But we've seen what Jaron and Hammy and Sedan and recently Trevor are capable of doing, and it puts a ton of pressure on the defense. So I don't think we want to be reckless with the way that we run the bases, but we should absolutely take advantage of our team speed.
Craig, Tanner Houck's last start was not a good one for him. What do you see as the issue there?
Yeah, so I think physically he feels really good. If you look at kind of the raw stuff, the velocity and the pitch movement, that's as good as it's been. I think the execution is where we've fallen a little bit short, and he knows that. Our pitching group knows that. I think if you look at last start relative to the one against Toronto, where he pitched deep in the game and threw really well, just a lot more pitches on kind of the edges of the strike zone. When he missed just off, as opposed to missing either in the middle of the plate or kind of non-competitively. And so I think we need to just kind of get back to having Tanner compete in the zone.
Did Tristan Casas place himself down to the seven hole, or was that Alex Cora's decision in the lineup?
I think what I know is that Tristan is a big part of what we're going to do here, and I think we saw, even just through the course of the series in Tampa, much better at bats. He's getting his ace swing off. He was not chasing pitches outside of the strike zone over the last couple of nights. He didn't have as many balls fall in as he would like and we would like, but he's hitting the ball hard. And that said, when it comes to lineup construction, that is Alex's job.
Speaking of hitting the ball hard, how long can you allow the full mash of Roman Anthony to be wasted in Worcester, Craig?
Yeah, well, I don't think we want to waste anything. I think what we want to make sure is that when Roman comes to the big leagues, he's able to step in and be successful, that there is clear opportunity for him to get the runway that he'll need as a 20-year-old. I think there are still some development opportunities that he is tackling in Worcester right now, but we are really excited about what Roman has done thus far and what we think he's capable of bringing.
Should Tristan Casas' struggles continue, what is more likely, Devers at first or Roman Anthony at first?
I think what we will do is everything in our power to ensure that Tristan's struggles don't continue.
Greg, when you look at Alex Cora, I think a lot of us question, okay, how much is on the manager versus how much is on the players? When you look at where you are as a team, especially with strikeouts, does a lot of that fall on the manager's kind of plate to make sure that you guys are more patient at the plate? It seems like you're swinging at early pitches and getting behind the count. How much of that is on Cora to make sure he's getting into these guys' heads to be more patient and look for the good pitches?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to assess how much blame goes to one particular person over another. Ultimately, when we struggle, it falls on all of us, starting with me. And I think it's really important, because the baseball season is so long, that we lean into making sure that we have good processes. And like I said, anytime we're evaluating our offensive performance, it has to start with, are we swinging at the right pitches? And, when we're swinging at them, are we making contact? Over the last couple of days, we certainly chased less out of the zone, but I think there's still room to drive up, our in-zone contact rates here. So in terms of answering that question, it falls on all of us, and we're all working really, really hard to provide consistency and the offensive performance that we know this lineup is capable of delivering.
We were talking earlier, start of the show, about Florida and baseball and being a baseball guy your whole life. Is it surprising to you when you have 7,000 fans at a Marlins game and 10,000 yesterday is because you would think Florida would be, you know, the weather's great. There's no issue there. And it's certainly when it comes to kids who are playing baseball, they're playing it in Florida. Is that the attendance surprise you?
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to really speak as to what drives individual fans to the stadium and what doesn't. I think, you know, baseball has made some meaningful changes to the game to drive action and to limit kind of the dead time. And I think that has sparked a ton of interest. Obviously, you know, the race situation is unique and everyone is trying to kind of make do the best that they can. You know, what we can concentrate on is trying to put the best team on the field that we can. And we think we have an entertaining product because of the things that we talked about earlier, like team speed and athleticism that is going to be attractive to fans.
Speaking of athleticism, Devers has been taking ground balls, I think, almost every game at third. Why wouldn't Devers have played third yesterday with Bregman back for the birth of his child?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to get, you know, guys into the lineup that we want to make sure aren't sitting for too long, whether that's Romy or Tammy. And, you know, Raffy is obviously going through a transition in terms of his role, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to make that transition as easy as possible. And sometimes adding things to one's plate can make it a little bit more complicated.
Craig, it seems like Bayo had his last rehab start yesterday. Do you like what you're seeing out of him? Does he feel good? When do you expect him back?
Yeah, you know, we'll get together and talk with Brian. We'll talk with the pitching group, medical group. But I think we've seen a lot of encouraging things through his rehab outings. Obviously, the traditional lines aren't overly appealing, but if you take a closer look, you see he was able to generate swings and misses. The shapes of his pitches were all really good. Command was good. He's struck out a bunch of guys without walking too many. He had some batted ball luck that didn't go his way, but you know he's building up bulk. I think he pitched into the fifth yesterday, so we feel good about where he is. But before making any declaration, would want to be sure that we check all the boxes here.
There's some cap coming from Courtney here because she really only wants Liam Hendricks back. So when Liam Hendricks is back, Courtney will be back in the ballpark.
Yeah, I love Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, and Liam pitched yesterday as well. He's nearing a return. Stuff continues to tick up. We obviously had that little hiccup coming out of spring training, but I think ultimately was the right decision to give him a little bit more time to ramp up. Velo up to 96 yesterday. Slider got some swings and misses, and he felt a lot more confident in the outing. So definitely trending in the right direction.
All right, Craig Breslow, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Big weekend at Fenway and, of course, the Marathon Monday game. So enjoy it, and we'll check in again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, there you go, Curtis. Velo, 96 from Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Got hot in here. I don't understand that at all. Like, I don't you guys think Devers would want to play third?
Definitely.
Of course he does.
So, and if he's working on a transition, what do you
don't want to start that, though? Like, what if he goes out there
he's good.
And he's off the charts good? No, zero errors.
Are you supposed to be doing what's best for the team, though? Like, if that's the case, then.
But there's too much. They want to do what's best for the team, but they also don't want the issue of people having to answer the question. Devers had a great outing at third base. You know, Bregman struggled a little bit. Why wouldn't you give Devers more opportunity? If this becomes a narrative now that people then push, and the Red Sox don't want this in the clubhouse where maybe the players have to answer it, Cora has to answer it. They just don't want that.
I just don't understand. Roman Anthony, Curtis, has a barrel rate of 38.7%. Why is he not up here with the club?
You didn't
answer
tell me that. I got his barrel rate tattooed on my head. I'm so pumped. I think about that. Roman Anthony more than the Roman Empire.
Because you know why? They really, or he really, loves or has high expectation for Cassis. And so,
Greg, what was your barrel rate at Courtney's
Courtney's wedding?
Where else are you going to put him?
Huh?
Where else are you going to put him?
What, Cassis?
No.
No, they want Cassis to play well eventually so they can get rid of him is what they want.
When they get rid of him, they're going to have the biggest party. It's going to be like when Toby left.
All right. So they don't want to put Romy out there. They're hoping, like, all right, let's maybe Cass's back gets hot and, you know.
All right. And then I didn't understand the spring training thing. So were they not prepared coming out of spring training, but there's nothing that they could do differently?
And he said that they were prepared showing up for spring training.
Right. Okay. That was a word salad and a half.
That was
Kamala steroids.
I did not understand that part, I guess. No. But I'm not a baseball guy.
Well, barrel it.
You know, we can ask Will Middlebrooks about that when he joins us Monday at the Capitol Grill on this show at 8 o'clock. So.
Don't have to worry about Wiggy's barrel rate with those lollipop lamb chops.
Nope. Nope. I will be taking those. But they have so many, because I like the little steak things, too. The little
Nobody says you don't
like the Christinis?
No, not on the Christinis. They bring them out cut already.
Carpaccio?
Just like a...
Like a steak fritter or something like that? Is that what they're called?
Like a steak frite?
No, yeah, frite, whatever.
You know, you're talking about later in the day.
Yes.
They bring out, they slice their steaks up. So they'll slice a ribeye up and just bring that out.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a special type of steak that they have.
I mean, it could be that it has the porcini rub on it.
Oh. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. You know, so there's you have to pace yourself.
Yeah, their breakfast is so good, too. I mean, we, the three of us eat and... Usually breakfast, lunch, and dinner there.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's,
so you have to pace yourself. That's why I kind of like pace myself.
Right. And you were allowed back in there now?
Oh, yes. No, okay. That's a distant memory. Really, I mean, that was that was just a blip.
I don't know that it's a distant memory for them.
No, I think it is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Last year they had a sign for
that was fun, very funny. It was. And I liked it.
Okay.
But no, Chris and I are
You sure?
We're fine.
Everything's okay?
Yeah. I had him ask, I had you ask him something for me recently to help my parents get a reservation, and he texted me and said, you know, you can just ask me yourself.
Oh, right.
So we're back.
So, okay.
So right, there you go.
Relations have warmed there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I love the Capitol Grill.
You
I think it's the best spot.
Well, you had that one thing with the restroom.
That was not really, that wasn't.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox wrap up a stretch of 15 games in 15 days, taking the final game of the series in Tampa Bay 1-0, thanks to a David Hamilton homer in the third. Sean Newcomb went 4 2/3. He gave up 0 runs on 4 hits while striking out 4. So the Sox take that series. They're now off tonight before their home series with the White Sox starts tomorrow.
Lead the league when it comes to turning the double play, though, Curtis.
Up the middle defense.
When it that guy's never called the show ever.
No,
again.
No.
He's
double play guy. He wanted his double play action. He got it.
It was a positive Hillman jinx.
Yeah.
Speaking of tomorrow, we've got NBA games that will be played. It will be the Heat against the Hawks after the Heat beat the Bulls yesterday, and the Mavericks taking on the Grizzlies after Dallas beat the Kings last night. Reminder, the Celtics have game one against the Magic on Sunday. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
It's going to be a perfect weekend at Fenway, Greg. Tomorrow, 65, 80 Saturday, 65 Sunday, and 62 on Monday. Perfect. Right now, 46, afternoon high of 60.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Jones and Keith, another jam-packed program for you. We got Terp, Pure Hoops with Terp, I should say.
Yes.
At high noon, had to move by a day. He was standing around, poor Terp.
Yeah.
Waiting for Jaylen Brown.
When's Jaylen Brown going to talk?
Waiting. When's he going to talk? What's up with his knee? How healthy is he? Didn't talk.
Huh.
So we're reading into that.
Sure.
We'll ask Terp about it. At high noon, if you miss Field Yates, he joined us in the 10 o'clock hour. You can seek that out on the Odyssey app. And joining us right now here on WEEI is Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. And, of course, Baseball Isn't Boring, the podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. No. McFarland to you, Rob.
Hey, can you just bring Terp in the room just to yell McFarland? He's so good at it, man.
Terp, he'll get on his horse and he'll run down the hallway.
Is his face like pressed against the glass? I mean, you paint.
We keep him outside.
Picture,
yeah.
No disrespect to any of these other fine companies, the E.L. Harvey Company, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. McFarland to you, Rob. What's going on?
I am just waiting for the NFL draft to end. You know why? So we can talk some good MLB draft talk, right?
Ooh,
let's go.
Nice.
Let's go. Travis Pastrana, first pick last year.
Travis Pastrana?
Travis Pastrana. Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. It is... I will say this as a quick aside with the draft stuff. The MLB draft is so desperately trying to emulate in some way the NFL draft. I've been to the draft.
I have a tip. Don't do it in the middle of your season. That'd be a good place to start. Don't
terrible
do it in the
idea.
Middle of your year.
By the way, the teams would be are all on board with what you're talking about because, okay, you're getting ready for the trade deadline. Let's do another thing. Let's have to get ready for the draft. And then go – the All-Star game, and I went to this thing last year, and it was so bizarre because only like six guys showed up for the first round. I think the first pick was like the seventh overall pick. It's just, I think maybe we talked about it. It's just so bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre. I want it to be like the NFL draft, but then you see the drone shots of the NFL draft, and you're like, nah, not happening. Nope.
Who are the real Red Sox, Rob? We've seen them get blown out by the White Sox and Rays. They've won these last two games. They struggle to score. They strike out a ton. They make a bunch of errors. Cora called them out. Who are the real Red Sox?
You know, I am anxious to see if they go on a run here and we look back at that Cora, as you said, the Cora thing after the game the other night, Monday night. And we're like, okay, well, that was a turning point. I don't know. It's a nice narrative. We'd like to tie all of those things in a nice little bow. But I do know this, is that Alex Cora doesn't do that a lot. I wrote this. I think the last time I remember him doing it this early in the season was 2019 when they got off that terrible start on their 11-game road trip. And, they come back and they play better and they win the last two. But I think that you ask, like, what they are. I think they're still a good team in a tremendously flawed American League, and that's why they can keep in this. I mean, we are talking sky is falling for the last couple of weeks, and here they sit at 10-10, right in the middle of it, just like everybody else, and that's how the American League is. But I do know this, is that they got to fix some stuff, man. They got to fix some stuff. It's all right if you have a guy, for instance, that you have to bury in the lineup because they aren't producing. But when that guy is the cleanup hitter that for the first 2 weeks of the season that you all of a sudden you're burying way down the lineup because you're just trying to take the pressure off, that isn't a dynamic that's good for anybody. They got to clean some stuff up here in the coming days.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted out about Tristan Casas. In 2023, he got out to a really slow start and then ended up having a really nice rookie season. This year, another really, really slow start. Is that all that it is, or is there something else with him?
Yeah, so first of all, we talked about this on Saturday. He is unbelievably polarizing, right? I put out that tweet, and people took it a million different ways. People loved, you know, like saying, oh, well, look at, you know, he should be better by now, or, oh, look at, he's going to be better because he was better a couple years ago. But I think that It is something where they're going to ride this out, much like they wrote it out a couple years ago, in by moving him down the lineup. But the difference here is that he's had a couple years now. He should be better. He shouldn't get off to this bad start. And the other part of this is that they're relying on him. This is the biggest thing. They're relying on this guy to be a middle-of-the-order hitter. And he hasn't been the middle of the order hitter. And we saw what happened. You know, the best thing for Tristan Casas in the first week or week and a half of the season was Rafi Devers striking out a million times because no one was paying attention. Now Devers is getting the occasional hit, and you're saying, all right, now you need Casas to hit the ball between the lines. So I do think that they'll ride it out for a little bit longer here. But still, the fact of the matter remains the same. Is that how they built this team, how they built this lineup, it's an enormous part of the equation.
Yeah, and so they have pretty good depth, however, not at first base. Like, at first base, they really don't have a true backup. And even though I wouldn't really call for this, is there anything, like you said, they ride this out, but let's say another month goes by and it's sort of similar. Is there any kind of pull to having a guy like friend of the show, Marcelo Meyer, work on first base? He just says he wants to play in the bigs, and you played him at second, short, and third in spring. Roman Anthony, I wouldn't really consider doing it either, but if you're trying to get these guys up at this level, and if Willy Abreu and Trevor Story and all these guys are still playing well, there's no real avenue for them. Is there a scenario where one of those guys ends up, you know, taking some grounders at first just to see what it looks like?
I mean, honestly, I think it would be Anthony before Meyer, but and I don't think it's going to be either one. You never say never, but they you're right. The solutions after Casas aren't that simple. The first step is platooning him with Roman Gonzalez, which they sort of have a little bit already. So that's the first step. They've worked out Vaughn Grissom, who's hitting really, really well at AAA. He's played some first base. But they haven't put Anthony there. They haven't put Meyer there. There isn't the logical, this is the next guy up solution. And so, like I said, I mean, this is why they're going to ride this guy out. I mean, you don't jump ship on Tristan Casas because of the first 3 weeks of the season. They know that. But you can't go much deeper than they went in 2023 when he turned everything around. And that was, I think, mid to late May. And so you get to that point and you haven't turned things around, then you got to start having different conversations. And who's to say that if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't turn it around, then all of a sudden this position that you would never have thought at the trade deadline, you have to start entertaining. And another thing that's going to start cropping up is, oh, okay, Vlad's signed. Who's the next best available guy who's going to solve the problem at first?
Okay,
Alonso. Pete Alonso.
Pete,
right?
Alonso is the polar bear. Yeah. I like it. Some of us have him in the Dong draft pool, so that's that'd be a good selection. Rob Bradford, WEEI, Baseball Isn't Boring. Check it out on the Odyssey app. Is Devers taking ground balls over at first? Is that a thing?
You know, I haven't seen him do it. I wasn't on this trip, so there was some rumblings that maybe I haven't seen him do it. I know when Cora was asked by the guys in the afternoon show if that's an option, he flat out said no.
Well, he didn't exactly answer if he's taking. He said no, he's not an option, but he didn't really say he's not taking grounders at first, which is why.
I said if he's taking grounders, and I will say this, he takes grounders. I mean, he takes grounders all the time. I have seen before all these games.
If he's a DH, why? I just feel like.
Well, yeah. And listen, you're preaching the converted here, man. I didn't like when they just said you're the DH and nothing else. I think that you do the best course of action for Rafael Devers is to integrate him in the field. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know he's going to get used to DH, but there's nothing wrong with showing the guy the field every once in a while, limber up, do whatever. I mean, just have him throw him a bone in that respect. He's not, he's never played the position before. I go back to JD Martinez about how he said when he started doing that, when he has the DH almost all the time, how important it was just to play the field once in a while. I don't know why they dug in so much on he's the DH and only the DH. And also, when it comes to the first base thing, this drives me nuts about spring training. Why don't you just put him out there for a day, a couple of days, to introduce, to see, hey, you know what? This is what it looks like. They're still dug in on him DHing all the time. But, again, never say never, but not right now.
Bigger issue or concern for the team right now, Tristan Casas or Tanner Houck?
I think Tanner Houck. Yeah, I think Tanner Houck, because in spring training, it was sort of a roller coaster with him throughout spring training. It wasn't like this lockdown guy that we had become accustomed to. Obviously, after the All-Star break, there were some issues last year. And then you have that outing that you had the other day. You had the good one before, just way too inconsistent. It's just such a far cry from what it was a year ago with Tanner Houck, which was this guy who was uber confident in all of his abilities and just one of the best pitchers in the American League. So, I think that Tristan Casas, a week from now, we could be saying, oh man, he's on fire. But the body of work that Tanner Houck has had throughout the last couple months makes me worry a little bit. He might turn it around too, but the fact of the matter is that, like I said, the image that he's portraying is far from the image that we got a year ago.
Okay, he's Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. Check out the latest. I think, what did I see? It's you, Ottavino again.
We try to do it once a week. Ottavino's not doing anything else right now. I found out. I asked him, does he get called up for a day? With the Yankees, what do you get paid? And he said, I got paid $4,000. I'm like, see? That
nice.
I would have never known that.
Such a direct question.
I would never known that.
What do you make over there?
Yeah, exactly.
How many women have you slept with?
that's next week.
Yeah, good. Oh, good.
But yeah, so it's a lot of good stuff. But Julian McWilliams also joins. So it's the big three, those three.
Okay,
yeah,
nice. The big three on the Odyssey app. Check it out. Baseball isn't boring. And, of course, all his work on WEEI.com. He mentioned writing about Cora calling out the team earlier this week, mm-hmm. The earliest in the year we've seen him do it since probably 2019. Which didn't end great for the Red Sox that year, an 84-win team. Bradford, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Rob Bradford joining us here on Jones and Keefe.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. Boston Red Sox got a win last night. That's 2 days in a row they've gotten a win. So we forget about that 16-1 loss. Move forward.
Stacking them together now.
Two is a streak, right?
It is, yes. Theoretically, technically a streak.
Going streaking! If two dots make a line, then two wins make a streak.
That's it.
I'm making that rule right now.
That's it, bub.
I'd never heard that before. I don't know if that one's sticking.
Yes, Dan Ball, sorry.
Only their second winning streak of the season. They won five, and then they've lost a little bit since then.
What a bunch of bums.
I agree.
But they're 10-10. They're feeling better about themselves. Did we have an update, Dan Ball, on St. Bregman? He obviously was back in Boston yesterday for the birth of a child. Did he, any update?
Yes, the baby has been had.
It has.
And his wife looks positively lovely. I don't know. I don't remember the name of the baby.
Reagan or Regan?
Yeah. Yes.
So the Bregman family, that's a good couple days. If you go 5 for 5 and hit 2 home runs and then have a kid the next day, that's a pretty good dad
feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, here it is. That's right. There it is. There you go. Nice little baby photo right there. Can't get the young one to look at the
little teeny thing.
That's tremendous.
Mom's already in sweatpants and a blouse looking IG ready. How about that?
If you're going to be putting out on IG.
My wife still hasn't recovered from the second one.
Let me tie her up here.
Yeah. But this is going to sound weird, but I bet you sort of the... what I've taken from you and others about Bregman, I bet you he is really glad they won last night without him. I bet you he's the kind of guy that had one eye on like the box score, the results in Tampa, and probably felt a little tinge of like, oh, I'm not with my team. I hope they can do it without me. And my guy, David Hamilton, as I told you he would, he's going to win some games for you.
Oh, yeah.
No radio show in the history of time has wasted more time talking about David Hamilton. He did his job.
He stepped up there and 1 for 21 for that home run.
Meanwhile, David Hamilton is occupying an active roster space, but you could call up someone else right now who could make a serious impact immediately.
Padone cranks in the 1-1, swinging a hard line drive to deep left. Backing off, Pinckney jumps up, can't catch it. That's a grand slam. A line drive into that old flower bed area and left. And Worcester now up 8-0 on Anthony's second homer of the game.
That's right. Roman Anthony went yard twice today, Andy. How much longer are the Red Sox going to wait until they call up to this guy? Because he is absolutely crushing the ball.
Well, that's good because he was struggling earlier. But no, I absolutely want those guys to make themselves... worthy of consideration.
Indispensable.
Now, I don't know where he fits necessarily. He doesn't necessarily solve your issues. I mean, you kind of have an outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's going to be playing
DFA Casas.
I mean, that's you think of DH. That's the next thing. First base or DH?
But that first base is what I think of.
Getting a lot of steam just among fans at home at first.
Yes.
Well,
never played there before, but who cares?
Right.
And just details.
That's the hole in the team right now. You're looking at Casas and you're starting to wonder, is he not who we thought he was going to be?
I mean, he's in a below average defensive first baseman, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't look like Casas knows how to play first base either.
And that's why one of the texters.
That's his position.
Yeah.
Texters was on me yesterday for throwing out there when we talked to Cora, like, why is Devers taking ground balls? Could he play third? Could he play first?
Well, wait, who was on you for this?
The texters. They're always on me for something. They're angry.
We got that from... We had good intel on that.
No, but they don't think, oh, he would ever play first base. Like,
why not?
If you're going to move... I mean, it happens all the time. Third base... Vlad moves to first. Like, bigger guys who are power hitters, whatever, move to first. It's sort of traditional baseball. And with Casas not playing well, could you move Devers to first? Because people are looking for answers at first base. And they're looking at you don't have a backup. I heard Lou talk about it the other night in the broadcast. Like, you don't really have, and even at third, you don't really have a long-term, if Bregman were to miss significant time, plan. But no, I think it's good. I actually think the bigger issue is from last night, Hartford. Bayo, 4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, but 7 Ks. Fastball was at 98. I would like to see Bayo back sooner rather than later. He hasn't been great. You got a good start last night out of Sean Newcomb. I was a little dubious as to whether he was going to be up to the task.
He looked good last night.
Middleborough zone, baby.
Absolutely.
He looked good last night. And Whitlock finally.
Slayton, your pen did it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking about in Bayo, a guy they gave an extension to last year. He was your opening day starter.
He should be on the big league.
Yeah, like
your opening day starter.
I want him back in this mix. That is how you build a deep rotation. Because Crochet on Saturday, I'm already looking forward to Saturday. It's going to be a beautiful weather. Crochet at Fenway. Yeah, you got that.
How about Hauk on Sunday? Yep.
I don't feel as good about that.
You
Hauk
don't.
Has not been great, as they say. I mean, they lost 16-1.
He was
wasn't all of it.
Nope. He only gave up 11 of them in 2 2/3. Here's a question. Is Lucas Giolito ever going to do anything for the Red Sox?
I'm starting to wonder.
I'm same.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ever. He may just be.
Also starting to wonder if I want him to do anything. I don't know how good he is anymore.
He was not very good before the surgery.
2 years ago, he led baseball in home runs allowed. I don't need to see somebody.
We already have someone taking care of that.
So that's why it's Bayo for me, because Bayo feels like he fits in with Campbell and Rafaela and sort of this next generation Red Sox. You want to root for these young guys to all kind of figure it out together. Plus, they all got paid by the team to be core players moving forward. So he's the guy more than Anthony. Like, yeah, Anthony at some point is going to be an answer for this baseball team.
I don't know
what the question is right now. Like, yeah. Who doesn't play? If you want to bring, Abreu carried you for a while. Are you moving on from Abreu? Are you
no
Rafaela? You giving up on him? Like, who's
perhaps?
Now, guys, this is not the Stiz Quiz. Perhaps it's been mentioned in our trending sports news once again, but just confirming. Can you guys name who's going to be the starter tomorrow night?
No.
Okay. It's here's a hint. It's not J.K.'s brother. Hunter Dobbins.
Hunter Dobbins. He pitched well.
Second start of the season. Started on Sunday against the Cardinals.
The big game against the Cardinals. Yeah. Five innings. I think he only allowed a run.
Stiz and I saw that live.
Brag.
Sick. Yes. Sick brag.
No, he pitched well. The old, you know, the family in the stands, and they did the interview, and he got a strikeout, I think, while he was
Hunter
up there.
Dobbins
Mom was crying.
I can't imagine that having Hunter Dobbins, having Duke Nukem, Richard Fitz, and now Hunter Dobbins start a combined seven games by the 21st game in the season was part of the plans. With the millions you're spending on Giolito, the new contract you gave to Bayo, this is weird. Maybe there are multiple reasons why this team has not hit stride yet.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's a long season and all the things that Cora tells us. And speaking of Cora, Matt in Rhode Island apparently has a comment on our Cora interview. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, Hart, you said, you know, you heard that he was, Devers was taking ground balls. His answer was no. Like, they took his baseball glove away for the rest of his life. I mean, I think he should move to first base. I think Tristan Gosses, like, you got to do something with him. And as far as Roman Anthony, you know, Rafael, unfortunately, is the odd man out there. I think it's simple math. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Matt. That was right to the point.
That's it. It was nice.
I like that. Rafaela, I don't know what to think of him because he is an exciting, athletic young player that they gave an extension to. Not huge money, and those are the types of deals you can move to. Probably a team like Tampa would take a young athletic player with a decent contract. But Roman Anthony, we've been told, is the next big thing, and he's starting to play like the next big thing. I know all these exit velocities have been off the charts down there. Every ball he hits is like 100
and whatever. 107 today.
Yeah, 100 and whatever miles per hour. But we've talked about Christian Campbell and wanting him to settle in. Do you, like, Are we too early to be making too many changes? I guess that's the question. Like, yeah, get Casas off of first, get Devers there. Bring up Anthony and get rid of Rafaela. I just wonder, too many moving parts. At some point, do you want to try to give the team you created coming out of spring training a chance to really get its legs?
I feel like 20 games is a pretty decent sample size. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we kind of know what Sedane is how he's looking right now, how Casas is looking right now. You know, there's guys that have kind of come out of it, obviously, with Devers. Trevor Story's come out of what he started with. Bregman is coming to come out with how he started. So there's certain guys that have come out of their slumps, and then there's guys that are still slumping. And I mean, sorry, Casas he's gone from, what, fourth in the lineup to sixth to seventh.
Seventh, yep.
And so I don't know how much more time you can give him specifically,
right.
But I feel like 20 games is a decent sample size for a team. If they were five games over 500, you'd say, you know what? We still have time. You know, maybe you look at the standings and you go, we're only a game out at first.
Right.
So we can continue to be, you know, conservative, but I don't know. I think 20 games is a decent amount of sample size.
What if you look at the end of last year for Rafaela, and you also look at part of last year for Casas, and you look to the previous season where Casas was a slow starter? You have half a season of potential upon which they are banking such an important position and an offensive pillar, first base, when you have options like possibly futzing around with Anthony, moving Devers over there. I don't, you know, who knows? Even having not signed somebody in the offseason. Casas right now, if you could put your finger on any one player who's kind of weighing the team down offensively, I feel like it's him.
Oh, absolutely. When you talk about expectation of this is a legit 30 home run guy, even if you don't go to the 40 and 120 of Brezel, just say this is a guy supposed to hit 28 to 30 something home runs, and he's not doing that. And he's striking out. And Cora said to us yesterday, strikeouts might be part of our DNA, but we got to hit, you know, for power too. And I feel like that's him. That's Casas. Now, I will say, Ted, there's a lot of these whispers from the baseball people that I respect. And I'm not saying this disparagingly, like a Lou Maloney. Some of these guys think Casas is starting to show signs of hitting the ball hard, exit velocity, barreling up, going the other way, signs that can precede an actual Dan Ball breakout, right?
Yeah, he went 1-for-10 in the series against the Rays, but 6 of his 10 plate appearances produced exit velocities above 97 miles an hour.
So do we feel good about that?
No.
Or is that just like a geeky way to say, I hope he gets better? Like,
it's implying that he's been a little bit unlucky, I think is what you're supposed to take from that.
Yeah, but I felt better about that when they were saying that early last year about Devers. Something about like average on balls put in play, Bispa or something. And it's like Devers had a track record of an extended period of time. Like, Casas hasn't been good save for the end of a season 2 seasons ago. Like, that's a smaller track record of success and a larger track record of not having success. Mm-hmm. So it's harder for me to buy into that than it would be a guy like Devers early in the year or something like that. I don't know. I want to root for Casas because I did like what I watched in the first couple Clubhouse episodes on Netflix. He became more likable to me.
Quirky.
But I'll tell you what's not likable is him hitting right now, him being, other than he's hitting the ball 96 miles per hour. Although Lou Maloney called out some of those stats. He's like, if you just hammer it into the ground in front of home plate, they tell you you hit it 96 miles an hour. Like, yeah, you hit a routine major league ground ball into the dirt. Like, you didn't do anything that was this close to being productive.
Yeah, there's your issue with stats.
Yeah, there is my issue with stats.
You can't actually see what that came from.
Okay, I also can't actually see life like Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is a guy.
A lot of people can.
A lot of people. I actually wonder how many people do see his side. How popular, like, how many Aaron Rodgers fans are there?
Not many.
And where would they be?
43.
Does he have any fans in his own family?
No.
He doesn't talk to them.
Nope. Right. So maybe a girlfriend, right? He's got a
new one, it sounds like. You know, but that's you know how that goes with him. They come and they go.
They They realize he's nuts and get the hell out.
Yep.
But Aaron Rodgers, he was on Pat McAfee today. We played a little bit of this audio earlier, but he had a lot to say about his first and apparently last meeting with the Jets and Aaron Glenn taking over here.
Hold on, here we're endeavoring something else. Your breakdown of BISPA, otherwise known as BABIP, batting average on balls in play.
Oh, okay.
So we're having a side audio.
Oh,
quest.
Sorry,
BISPA or something.
Yeah,
sorry about that. But Cloud City. Let's move on from the dorky stats and move on to the annoying guy on Pat McAfee. He broke down his first meeting with Aaron Glenn and how it went. And
so he was asked to fly out there. I guess. He told Pat McAfee that he was spent his own own money to fly out there. He wanted everyone to know.
Does that mean anything? You're an ex-player. I don't know. Like,
you know what, bro? When you've been paid all that money and you want to highlight, I paid with my own money.
Yeah,
I think it's whatever. Whatever, dude.
Right.
Like you're hurting for money and you had to pay for your own flight out to New York, huh?
So let's parse through this. His first meeting with Aaron Glenn.
I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And the confusing thing to me and the strange thing was, you know, when I went out there, I meet with the coach, we start talking, he runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. Then he comes back with the GM.
Hey, stop it. Do you hear what he said? He goes, we start talking, and then Aaron Glenn leaves the room.
Okay.
So something was said before Aaron Glenn left the room. Okay? I just want people to remember. They were talking, and then Aaron Glenn suddenly gets up and leaves the room. Continue.
So we sit down in the office. I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country, and 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback.
Wait, did he say it just like that?
No.
Yeah, I'm interested.
That wasn't very definitive.
No.
Yeah. Like we were talking and then he left and then he comes back and he says, we're moving on. Is there by chance, Aaron, did you say something in that first minute or two to Aaron Glenn that he was like, dude, I'm going to go get to my GM. We're going to come back and we're going to tell him we don't want him. He acts as if he was done dirty. Now, they could have told him that they didn't want him before he fled. But what if he said something in that first minute of meeting with him
that just was like, if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'd be like, you know what? I don't even. He's acting like a douchebag in the first minute of the meeting.
Right.
Why do I don't want him here.
And I would
and
even
he's
argue.
Shocked that that's how they feel.
For me, and I'll take him at his word because it's his audio. Yeah, I'm interested. Like right there, if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm rebuilding a team where I don't think I probably am going to win the Super Bowl this year. Do I want my quarterback, who might only be here for this year, to be like that? This is a little like the Joe Milton thing. It's a different style.
It's reverse Joe Milton.
That's going to be my quarterback, a guy who goes, yeah, I might want to be here.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Okay, interested. Yeah. I'm out.
That sounds
thank
very...
you, Aaron. I appreciate you coming across the country. I have all I need here. We'll move on.
Is there more, Stiz? Is there?
Yeah, there's. Yep, there's more.
Let's hear a little bit more. That's all right.
And I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly, which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets, to hear your vision for the team. 20 seconds in. What I thought was going to be a couple-hour meeting turned into like a 15-minute meeting, and I walked out of there. But
so at that moment,
that was a strange meeting for sure.
Obviously,
there was no me pleading like, please have me on the team. No.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't want any part of that. Stop. It was already a debacle some cases.
Yeah.
What a mess.
It's you know, Aaron, people know you, bro. Like, you know, listening to you for 2 hours ramble on as a coach, all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I didn't know you before. Like, you've only been in the league since 2006.
Right.
I have a pretty good idea of who you are, bro. You know? He comes across so magnanimous and self-important. It's unbelievable.
Yes, Dan.
Doesn't this whole experiment on the Pat McAfee show underline why the Jets probably don't want him anymore?
Yeah,
what's the first thing he turned around and did after you had this closed-door
meeting talking about
very, very secretive things, details of, trying to respect your privacy. We're respecting how you want this put out there. Oh, let me just go air it out on the McAfee
show
and tell it my own way. Exactly.
Air it out dirty laundry.
I wouldn't want him either.
I feel like this is me asking my daughter something that was going on at school. And then she said, and then I said, and then she said, and then I said.
Yeah,
and it was like,
I still don't.
Aaron Glenn was in the division. He knows you.
Like, yeah, he was coaching
around
in the NFC North for a while. Yeah.
He's been around. He's also a player, so he has player connections, player instincts. Like, there's a lot to like about Aaron Glenn as a potential head coach, and for him to be an informed person on who you are, Aaron Rodgers. And now for Aaron Rodgers to pretend like
you don't know me, bro.
I mean,
again, he must have said something in that first few seconds of the interview.
Yeah.
How can anybody think that Aaron Glenn's mind wasn't made up before Aaron Rodgers got on the airplane?
And it might have been. He like, maybe was like
he wasn't
willing
waiting
to listen.
You know what? I have an idea, but I'm willing to listen. And he might come in here and blow me away. And it was like, nope, it's exactly what I thought.
No, in minute one, he confirmed my fears already.
Yeah,
so we're done here.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Where does Aaron Glenn run out of the room to?
To the general manager. He got the general manager. They came back, and then they both told him.
Yeah.
That he was gone.
It
sounds a little weird on Aaron Glenn's part. But
on everyone's
it's hard to give the benefit of doubt to Aaron Rodgers when we know what we know about
Correct. The way he has not earned
He's not playing in the league this year. He's not. He's done. Donezo.
We'll see, because I think teams get desperate at quarterback. That's the one thing.
I don't think people are going to talk about him in the top five best quarterbacks.
No.
He's going to fall in the same Jeff George. He's going to be, even though Jeff George didn't win a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers won one. People are going to go, that guy had the talent to win multiple ones, and he never did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be considered similarly to a Jeff George in his legacy.
All right, Aaron Rodgers. Wow. Ted Johnson says he will not play in the NFL this year. We will find out over the next 3, 4, 5 months, however this plays out. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is a grand day with a grand segment on the way. Quiz with Stiz makes its return. Baseball got in the way the last couple weeks on a Thursday afternoon. Not this week. Quiz with Stiz up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Alex Cora, thanks for joining us today. Are we safe to say we're feeling a little bit better after last night's performance?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, we feel better. I mean, yesterday was a much better game. We pitch. We run the base as well. Obviously, we hit. And we play a clean game, which is what we're trying to accomplish.
From the outside looking in, it seemed and sounded like you kind of called your baseball team out the other night after the 16-1 loss, and a night later they responded. Would you sort of agree with that assessment?
No, I called out the coaches, man. No, it's we find ways to send messages, and what I tell the media most of the time, I tell the players, and you know, they know that we have a good baseball team, and they know that we haven't played to our standards, right? And it's not about wins or losses; it's about how you play on a nightly basis. You got to be consistent, and we've been consistently bad, to be honest with you. I think you know, defensively we have struggled. Offensively, it's been up and down, and the pitching has been inconsistent, like I said. So it's one of those that you want to finish the road trip the right way, regardless of the result. You know, I've been saying it all along since day one in spring training. If we play consistent and we do the things that we're supposed to do, we're going to win a lot of ball games. And right now, we're around 500 because we haven't done that.
It's funny you say, Alex, that you guys have been chasing but not being able to achieve consistency, because if I had to pick one way to describe the team, it would be consistently inconsistent. You guys have been up and down.
That's a good way to say it.
thank you. Please feel free. It's all yours. but, you know, the thing is, like, the only real constant so far have been too many strikeouts, or so it seems, and some defensive miscues. So how do you think you get on track being a more consistent ball club? And between the strikeouts and the errors, which of those drives you craziest and you think you can clean up quicker?
From my end, because of the player who I was, the defense is the one that drives me crazy. But then you sit down and you break it down, and there's been four catches interference. Tristan drop a throw from Trevor that usually doesn't happen. I know Alex has four errors, but you know, he's probably leading the league in starting double plays. Trevor made an error on lack of communication on the double play. So you break it down and see what is really going on, you know. And there's a lot of good things defensively, some bad things too, like I just mentioned them. But I think that's the part that it drives me crazy because of who I was, like I said before, as a player.
So Tanner Houck struggled the other night. He struggled down the stretch at times last year. Watching that game, to me, it felt like you left him out there longer than maybe I would have expected as a fan. Is that accurate? You know, what was the thinking behind leaving him out there maybe a little longer?
I mean, we still have two more games, and you got to manage the game. You got to manage the series. You got to manage the week. That's the way it goes. And, you know, if you go to the bullpen too early, then you cannot do the things that we did that day with Fulmer, Winkowski, Weiser, and Bernardino helping us to accomplish what we did yesterday when Walker went five innings. You know, that's the reality of managers. You know, people get caught up on too soon, too late, but there's a game the next day, and that's the beauty of the big leagues. And my job is, like I said before, manage the game today, manage the series, the week, the month, and the season. And you know, it hurt watching him out there. There was a lot of C9 singles at one point. He got hit hard too. You're hoping for a ground ball double play, and we actually got it right. And Alex didn't make the play, so that's. That's from my view. That's the way I see it. And I think what Fulmer, Wink, Weiser, and Bernie did that day after Tanner helped us win a ball game yesterday, and hopefully that can help us win a ball game today.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here on WEEI Afternoons. Obviously, Alex, good win last night. Nice turnaround from Monday night's jaw dropper, but that's not to say that the weekend also wasn't a bit of a surprise or a jaw dropper as well, including last Friday night, going out there 2-10, the White Sox were, before you guys got to town. Losing two out of three, and especially a 10-run game on a Friday night to the White Sox, how do you think that series got away from you guys?
We were up 2-0 in the sixth inning of game two, and Fitz got hurt. We threw a fastball right in the middle to Robert, and he hit a ballpark. We were in position to win game two. It's one of those that I always said that regardless of the opponent at this level, and you see the offensive numbers around the league, right? I think it's the worst batting average since I don't know when, and the on-base percentage since like 1972. Pitching is at its best. And regardless of who you are, you're going to have guys that are throwing 97, 98. You're going to have bullpens that are capable of shutting anybody down on a nightly basis. And obviously, we didn't play good baseball on Friday. But overall, a bunch of good arms that they strike a lot of people out, that bullpen of the White Sox. And we just lost 2 out of 3. We did a good job on Sunday, kind of like saving the series, right, not getting swept. And, we got a chance to play them again this weekend. Hopefully we can do better. But, I think if you look around the league and you see the records of the teams and you see the American League, everybody's competitive. Everybody has capable arms, and you're going to run into series or anything like that. Does it get magnified because it's early in the season or because of their record? Of course, but you cannot just put your head down because you lost 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. You got to move on. We didn't do a good job of that on the first game here, and we were better yesterday.
I know you often tell us how long the season is and sort of saying even keeled. And one of the things I looked at is, you play some bad baseball. You're a sub-500 team. You get some games that 11-1, 16-1. And then you look at the standings and you're two games out of first place. Like the AL East is bunched up. The AL in general is bunched up. Do you take any solace in that? Like, yeah, we've played some bad baseball. I think we're a good baseball team, and we're really only two games out right now.
Probably a lot of people in the not in the organization and the division feels that way too, right? Like nobody has played great baseball.
Yep.
And it's still early, obviously, but we've been in tough situations, right? Early in the season, like one team, I think at one point, remember the Rays, they won like 13 in a row early in the season a few years ago or last year, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And right away, they had a 6 or 7 game lead. The Yankees have done that a few times. We did it in 18. So, for how inconsistent we've been, I feel okay that nobody in the division has taken off.
So, Duran got his first home run of the season last night as well. Do you think that maybe that first dinger, some positive at bats for him, could that be something that finally gets him going? Because perhaps if there's anybody, I know Bregman's hitting well, Story's hitting well, but if there's anybody who could be the spark or the catalyst offensively for the Sox, it very likely could be Duran.
Yeah, and it started on Monday, which is great. In a game that was out of hand, the last at bat hit a ground ball through the hole. Then yesterday, obviously the homer, but the two walks, controlling the strike zone is very important. And when you start walking, it means that you are on time, you're swinging at the right ones, you're not trying to do too much. And yesterday, yeah, the homer was great, but ended up walking twice. We just talked about it. I just saw him in the clubhouse. Just the quality of the at-bats were a lot better. He's been actually, if you look at him in Texas and in Baltimore, he was driving the ball to left center. And then he got away from it, trying to do too much. Hopefully, he gets back to let the ball travel and driving it to left center. And if he starts doing that consistently, then it's going to be fun to watch.
You've been very consistent throughout the spring, even early in the season, with the team struggling at times, saying, this is a good baseball team. We're a good baseball team. That seems very intentional on your part. But does it also come with a realization you are putting some pressure on yourself as the manager to win games, on the team to win games? Does that increase the expectations and pressure on your baseball team and yourself?
No, because I can say it's worst years of bust, like in 18, right? That's pressure. That was the reality of that club. I think the last few years we've been trying to motivate the group and saying, hey, we are a playoff team and we have to make it. But obviously, you know, that wasn't the reality, right? Where we were as an organization, we were trying to win as many games as possible, but developing players. I think we did a good job until the trading deadline, right? We were fighting until there, and then it didn't happen. This year, we have a solid baseball team. And, you know, we know we're capable of playing meaningful games in September and October. But at the same time, you have to take care of the pillars of the game, right? You have to, you know, catch the ball and you have to pitch. If you do that consistently through 162, good things are going to happen. Offensively, we live in an era that is very hard to hit. Obviously, we don't like the strikeouts, but maybe that's part of our DNA. But also in our DNA, I think we're going to drive the ball out of the ballpark at one point. We haven't done that yet. I think it's going to come. And I think we're much better at controlling the strike zone. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's not pressure. It's the reality of who we are. We made some moves in the offseason to get to this point. Now it's a matter of just keep working hard. Try to get better each and every day. Like Andrew Bailey always says, the main event is the main event. It's at 7:05, 4:30, 1:30, right? Try to win the main event. You win it, you turn the page, you lose it, you turn the page. And if we do that consistently, we're going to be fine.
And speaking of key offseason additions, Alex, obviously he carried the day offensively last night as well. Alex Bregman going to be off on a bit of a paternity leave. How long do you expect him to be out, and who's going to be filling in for him during his absence?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully everything goes well tonight or yep. tomorrow. And his plan is to be back with us on Friday. So we wish him and Regan nothing but the best, you know. What a night he had yesterday, right? You go 5 for 5, hop on a plane, and get your second child, right? That was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, Sogar is going to be with us. He's going to be with us today. We'll see what happens on Friday, but I think it's good. Switch hitter who can play first, second. Well, he can play everywhere. It's a quality of bat.
Alex, my moles tell me that Rafi Devers takes ground balls pregame and it's part of his warm-ups and things of that nature. Is there? I know you've said he won't play third, but is there a chance we see him at first? Could we see him use that glove in games? What's the story there?
No. Rafi's going to DH. He's, you know, unless it's an emergency, we'll use him on the field, but the plan is for him to DH.
Along those same lines, Christian Campbell, is the plan to continue to give him reps at different spots? Has there been any thought to just placing him at second base and letting him develop there full time? Because obviously he's been great offensively, been some hiccups here or there defensively. Thought to that?
No, he'll keep doing the same thing. He'll play the majority of the games at second base. He'll play probably center field once a week. We got to get David Hamilton involved. That's very important for us. He's a big part of what we're trying to accomplish. He's a dynamic player. You guys know what he can do when he gets on base, and we got to get him at bats.
And before we let you go, I know we asked you this last week, but are we even closer, I guess, a week later to the troops, the pitching troops, Bayo and Giolito, and maybe getting some reinforcements?
Yeah, Gio pitched yesterday. It was 2 innings, 60 pitches. So just waiting on the report, how'd he go, how he feels. Most likely he has one or two more. Bayo, he's pitching tonight in Hartford. So hopefully it's a good one. And, you know, the plan is for him to probably join us next week. Liam is pitching tonight, too. And in that game, there's a good chance he'll join us over the weekend.
All right, Alex, appreciate you with joining us, and hopefully we'll look forward to another victory tonight and talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. See you guys next week. Be well. Hey,
thank you,
see
Alex.
Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll revisit some of his comments, some of them very definitive and interesting that we need to break down here on WEEI Afternoons.